Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I don't have anything on my desk to talk about. What are we going to do today?
It's a good thing it's mailbag week.
Quiet, you Sunday sermon skipping sinner, you!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
It is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh. Last time somebody's gonna confide in me. This is Wretched Radio. To my own shame, this is the first time I've walked into the studio and said to Jimmy, how was church on Sunday? First time. And what answer did I receive?
Actually, it's not the first time, but the answer you received was, I didn't go to church yesterday.
And I said, why?
Yes, you did.
And your response was?
My iron died. It did. That's the honest truth.
I initially thought, what, are you anemic or something? Your iron died? What? I don't understand how that works. You're dry. You're like your five iron.
Yeah, no. My clothes iron. I iron my clothes.
See, that's where I immediately got a little confused.
Yeah.
You didn't go to church because you couldn't iron.
That's right.
An outfit.
That's right. Look, this is why people tell you to give me a raise. I can't afford to go to the cleaners.
Uh-huh. Or maybe just maybe we've learned somebody's a little bit more persnickety than we've imagined.
Well, I'm not wearing jeans.
You hear that? You know what? Actually, I think the beard should have been the first tip. Because it's like really like tight.
Yeah.
And you're that way with your clothes.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the OCD Club. This is Wretched Radio's A Mailbag a Week. So whatever is on your mind, please send it to idea@wretched.org. Or you can text the sinner at 877-282-2337. Did you at least watch it online?
No, I did not. I was gone to buy an iron.
Oh,
I know it,
man.
I know.
You know, the only reason I'm not pouncing hard is because I don't want to be judged by the same standard. But really, dude, come on. You had to go. Well, I had to go to Walmart and get an iron because I can't be wrinkly for church on Sunday.
That's where I went.
877-282-2337.
All right,
is there a way for a ministry to do church discipline?
Because I went and bought an iron?
No, because you missed church to go and buy an iron.
I'm sure they can.
You know what you should have picked up while you were at the Walmart picking up an iron?
A Bible.
Some sackcloth.
And that's just
877-282-2337.
All right, we're going to start with a couple of comments. These are from Andrew.
Oh, cool. Comments.
Uh-huh. From all.
Can I just encourage everybody to send in comments? I love this.
Mm-hmm.
That people, they just share stuff that you deemed good, even though the source of the one who's gleaning these is a little bit suspect at the moment.
This is from Andrew, all the way from Australia. Todd, you made a comment recently about losing access to universities to do ministry. That's the reality here in Australia and has been for years. Instead, my team sets up right outside the university where the students are coming and going, and we speak to them about Jesus there. The ministry is still fruitful, and to be honest, I really suspect the kids are much more open today than they've ever been in years past. I regularly have profound conversations and watch as God changes kids' worldview right in front of me.
You know what? Every evangelist that I've spoken to has said the same thing. That wherever they go to a campus, the kids want to talk. Please, if you are within a stone's throw of a university campus and your church is not doing regular, ongoing evangelistic ministry, we are missing the greatest opportunity we have left. So according to Andrew, whom I know, by the way, he's a faithful evangelist. He's been going to campuses, but they don't want him on the campus. So they just stay off the campus on the side. So that's where it's at in Australia. Because that'll happen sometimes in the US of A, too.
Yeah.
I remember Georgia Tech, the police asked, could you do this somewhere else? I could, but legally I can be here. And the guys were really cool. And they said, yeah, we know that, but we got some complaints. Could you help us out here? And I said, sure, I'll go over to this sidewalk. It didn't impede my ability to capture kids. That's right. I said capture kids. And so I obliged that. But that's not the only time. There are times in the U.S. where universities, they don't want evangelists there. And they will seek to boot them off. That happened up in Clemson, if I'm not mistaken. That's hopefully not going to be a continuing trend. But depending on how this election goes, that trend might be a little bit more possible. In Australia, already happening. Keep up the faithful work, Andrew.
Well, he had another comment as well. He said, you also...
Okay, now, Andrew, really? Okay, little piggy, don't you think, Andrew?
He said, you also mentioned, this is a good one, you mentioned an episode about AI and on an episode about AI and seminaries. He said, I teach a unit on evangelism through the local Bible college. They're not quite the same as the seminary, but as close as we get for training Christians, for training people for Christian work. I only have a small class, but recently failed 3 students this semester for using AI to write all or part of their assessments. One was blatant. The other 2 were a bit harder to spot, but eventually they also admit it to AI use. This is horrific, and these are the future ministers in our churches.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit of a problem. AI is a problem. I'm telling you, I think my prediction, I'm sticking with it. In just a matter of years, with AI becoming what will inevitably be the crutch of most pastors in preparing their sermons, most of them will start leaning way too heavily on it. Can it sometimes be a helpful tool? Yeah, I use it. It's just a better search engine is how I see it for something, not everything, but for some things. Instead of me having to glean through 7,000 articles, it does it for me. Lickety split. But that isn't how most will end up using AI, because it can write a sermon for you. It's crazy what that thing can do. And when that happens, as it probably already is, seminaries are no longer going to have to teach homiletics. They're going to have to teach drama classes, how to present a powerful sermon, how to use hand gestures to illustrate your AI written point, how to use your voice in making sure that your delivery of your pre-scripted sermon is effective and grows your church. In a world where AI dominates the church. Get ready. I'm telling you. Going to happen. By the way, over the weekend, it was before church, by the way, that we went to on Sunday. With perfectly pressed clothes, because we prepare on Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
I should have done that.
If you'd been ready on Saturday, wouldn't have been missing church on Sunday. Just trying to help here. Air quote, brother. talking to Greg Gifford, I had listened to his Transform podcast. Whew, baby, that thing is good. And he was talking about the issue of pornography and how to go about the battle of winning it. It was so good. And I sent him a note. I think this was Saturday morning. And I said, thanks a lot. You basically preached the sermon that I'm preaching on Sunday morning, because it was about God being the better, that choosing his ways is better. It maybe doesn't feel like it in the moment because your carcass wants something so badly. I want fill in the blank. I want money. I want fame. I want to be an influencer. I want to be beautiful. I want to look at pornography. Whatever it is where you're, it's like, I want that. And it may not even necessarily be a sinful thing, but when your heart just really craves something like that, it's choosing the lesser thing. We talked about this a bit last week, and he was talking about that very thing on his podcast. So I sent him a text and I said, did you plagiarize? Which actually would have been impossible because I hadn't preached the sermon yet. And we were simply talking about the importance of, yes, teaching about the attributes of God. Clearly, that's important. But if teaching on that attribute or anything else about God doesn't leave us more in awe of what an amazing God we have, then I think the sermon falls short. And so he and I kicked around the, I said, I would like to do a pastor's conference on how to lift up the Lord so that we love him more, even when we're preaching on the stern, severe attributes of God. And he said, how's about a book? And I said, I like it a lot. And so I already started on that this morning because my clothes were ready to go. So I didn't miss work this morning either. To preach, to not import it into the text, but to make sure you pull out something about God that causes the hearer to go, we have an awesome God. That's the point of preaching. When you go to church on Sunday, that is, this is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Some people call it Halloween, others of us call it Reformation Day, but later this month, countless children will be knocking on our doors all over this country. You don't have to turn the porch light off and say, I don't celebrate this day. No, you can seize the opportunity with us here at Fortis Institute. This year, we're offering you a powerful way to engage. For a limited time, you can receive 50 copies of The Man Who Split Time absolutely free. You just cover the shipping charge. Imagine as children come to your door, you can answer and offer them not just treats, but also the greatest gift of all. That's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each booklet is a chance to plant seeds of faith in young hearts and young minds. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/Halloween to claim your free booklets right now. You just cover the shipping charge. Don't miss this opportunity to shine the light of the gospel on Reformation Day. Order your copies right now at fortisinstitute.org/Halloween.
I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Masters Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible, where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Masters Academy International trains pastors internationally, 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the Anxious Bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, apparently the fruit can't fall far from the tree. This is Wretched Radio. So there you are. You're in your bedroom. I'm sure very upset that your iron was broken. You couldn't get your clothes as persnickety pressed as you wanted them for church. But lo and behold, it's the kids.
Yep.
They're ready for church.
They are.
Because apparently their iron worked.
No, they just didn't use one.
And they went to church anyway. Fascinating. So they said, Dad, we're ready for church. And you said,
hey, we're not going today.
And they said,
well, we'll go ahead and go.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Dude. That's the best. Right there. That is the absolute best. You're about 50-50 right now. 877-282-2337. It is a mailbag week. So text away. Would ya?
This is from Brad, who texted in, Todd, I'm married and have two kids under the age of 10. I still struggle with managing my time with work, spending time with my wife and kids, household chores, and entertainment. I tend to feel guilty saying no to playing with the kids when I have something to do around the house. How can I approach managing my time with the priorities in my life?
Yeah, I suppose somebody's written some sort of book on this, and there's some sort of Google Doc you can use to determine how many minutes. There's probably some people who could handle that sort of structure. I'm not one of those people. How do you manage it? I think the best way to determine how you're doing is by asking the people involved in your life. How am I doing? And if you already have a culture in your house where everybody is on the same team, pulling in the same direction, to be able to say to them, hey, do you think that your dad's spending enough time with you? Well, then you need to adjust things. Honey, am I getting my responsibilities done around here? And then you adjust things. Ditto with couch time. And I think it's something that kind of warps and woofs. It kind of ebbs and flows with the season based on everything that's going on in your family's life. Ask the people that are involved. And know this too, regarding your kids and playtime, that window is closing. It is wide open when they're born. It immediately begins to shut. So you need to realize, hey, doing stuff with my kids, this isn't even going to be an option, probably when they get into the teenage years. But I would say this, though, too. Remember, the number one priority of a parent, playing is cool. It is great. Love it. But training them up to love Jesus more, I would say, is the single priority. That is the number one biggie of every single parent. How do I help my kids love Jesus more? So keep an eye on that. And if somehow during the day that hasn't been a daily effort, then you need to adjust things. You need to go about the business of reorganizing your schedule. And the last thing I would say on it is this. Dad, you are in a season where much is demanded of you, and a lot of it is important stuff. Playing with your kids is important stuff. You want those special times together. You want to do those things together. Because pretty soon you won't be able to, but you gotta have the priorities straight. Would you quit flapping that thing in front of me?
Sorry.
What is it that you're doing on the thing? What is the thing here?
You mentioned a book, and that reminded me of a book by Tim Challies.
Yeah.
Do More Better.
A Practical Guide to Productivity.
Yeah. So
He's one of the fellows here. He should review his own book. Wouldn't that be interesting to watch Tim Challies review his own book and be actually critical of it? It will help you. I also suggest, by the way, get help from the men in your church. Talk to them. See, let them speak into your life. Tell them what's going on. What does your calendar look like? And let them bust your chops when you're being lazy or soft or you're just kind of, well, you know, I have long days at work. And that was the final point I was going to make. The season of life you're in demands you put on your big boy pants. You just do it. If that means staying up late to get everything done and going short on sleep, that's the season you're in. It won't last for forever, but that's just what men do. There are many demands on you. they'll lessen as the kids get older and they become more self-sufficient and they want to go running around. Right now, just do it. Just do it. I know that I've stated this before. It's so vivid in my mind. I remember regularly coming home from work when the kids were young. And before I would pull into the garage, or I would just pull in and just sit there for a second and go, let's go to work. Let's go to work. Suck it up, bud. Get in there. And you just kick it in gear because that's more important than what you've already been doing all day. I know making money is important. Family's more important. Wife is more important. Kids are more important. And so you just need to, I'm going to say it, and I don't mean this aimed at this guy. I mean this aimed at all of us. You got to man up. This is so often, especially these days, I discover young people are regularly asking the question, well, what does it look like? You know, how do I do that? Well, this is one of the ways. You just man up and do it. You grind and you push and you don't complain along the way. You get busy. You find the energy. You put your own priorities way back there. So whatever it is, you like watching football. Well, guess what? I can tell you on the list of priorities that you have if you've got kids under the age of 10, it probably doesn't even belong on the list. It probably does. Now, you can use discretionary time as you see fit, but I'm just telling you, if Saturdays and Sundays are consumed with watching the big game, that's frivolous stuff. And a man gives those things up. That is what, in part, it looks like to be a godly man. Speaking of which, the emails are coming in, Jimmy. I don't know if I sent any of those to you or not. Adam Tyson?
No.
Way of Manhood? People are digging it. If you are on the younger scale and you're wondering, well, what is this whole manhood thing about? Adam Tyson, he's our fellow. And he's your man to help you to become a godly man with his podcast, which you can get for free wherever you do the podcast business. It's called Way of Manhood, not to be confused with Way of the Masterhood. This is Way of Manhood. So please avail yourself of it for free, or you can go to Fortis Plus and you can listen to it every single week there. By the way, Jimmy, that Greg Gifford thing, next week we have to play those two segments that he did on loving Jesus. That was really good stuff. Go to Fortis Plus. I'm telling you too, the reviews on it are so positive. Speaking to people at church, because I went on Sunday, they were talking about the Fortis Plus website. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring it up again?
It's okay.
How are you feeling in there?
I deserve it.
Yes, you do. Yeah. I'm the one to make sure you pay for your sins. That's how that works around here. People have been saying just the blessing of these different contributors at Fortis Institute that are talking about subjects, and they're short. It's like 5 minutes long, and it's like, whoa. That's deep. That's helpful. And then the podcasts, they're all give or take about a half an hour long. And they are absolutely excellent. Avail yourself of all of it at fortisplus.org.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. You mentioned The Way of Manhood, and Josiah had written in and said he's been listening to it and loving it. He said it's thought-provoking. I can't wait for more. And I also like the length. As much as I like long podcasts, it's nice to have something a little shorter that's easier to fit into a busy day.
Besides, we got five of them there. So you got plenty to listen to. John Kratz is all of these guys are doing an awesome job. Go check out all the stuff we're producing here at fortisplus.org.
Well, this is from Sheila. She wrote in, Todd, how do you handle a situation where one of the people teaching basic morals at a public school is openly gay? Would you allow your child to participate?
I need to know a little bit more. Now, the fellow is teaching basic morals? Is that a class?
Well,
or he's basically like he's being a decent guy,
yeah,
but he's gay.
Right, right.
You know, if he were not bringing an agenda to the class, if you knew that wasn't happening, look, we live in the world with sinners. And you can decide as the parent. You decide as the parent, can my kid handle this? Is this wise for my kid? But as long as there's no indoctrination going on, I think the answer to that for a parent is it's an option. You could. Some parents are going to go, not a chance. And I think there's liberty in that sort of decision. And that is why, but I have to say, though, this is why public school is becoming so challenging for so many Christian parents. Homeschooling is growing like a nobody's business. And by the way, it's not just Christians. It's people who want to pull their kids out. Might I just offer this reconciling word that if you are strong in your opinion about public schools and that you do not want to send your kid there, I say amen to you. And if you say, well, in my particular school with my particular kid, I'm still okay with it, to you I say amen, because I still think that there's liberty in this and that maybe this shouldn't be an issue that brings acrimony amongst different Christian parents, even though we all have pretty strong opinions about it, don't we? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Brink, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. We start with Harvard, whose endowment has took a $151 million hit as donors pull back over the university's handling of anti-Semitism. Yeah, when billionaire alumni start closing their checkbooks, maybe you need to start to remember that leadership does require more than just academic credentials. And in a move that would make George Orwell raise an eyebrow, a British Army veteran has been convicted of praying silently near an abortion clinic. Adam Smith Connor is his name, and he was fined nearly $12,000 for quietly praying for his aborted son, which makes you kind of wonder, what exactly are they so afraid of? Our neighbors to the north continue expanding their euthanasia program at an alarming rate. The latest developments show doctors discussing whether homelessness, obesity, and even grief qualify someone for assisted suicide. And in one particularly troubling case, a woman was consistently pushed until she finally agreed to be euthanized alongside of her husband. Yeah, when did do no harm become, how about we just call it a day? Joy Reid of MSNBC has declared that pro-life Christian families are fascist. Well, that's not a very surprising take from her, but according to Reid, wanting babies and believing in strong families is apparently the new face of tyranny. I guess that makes most of human history one long fascist regime. And from Missouri now comes a story that perfectly captures our confused times. A pastor, you can't see my air quotes, is running for state office to challenge the Christian right while promoting gender ideology. Again, air quotes, Reverend Shumway proudly proclaims that she's a Christian who believes in trans rights. And I just wonder how she reconciles that with Scripture's very clear teaching on God's design. The University of Nottingham has added trigger warnings to medieval literature containing, quote, expressions of Christian faith. Who knew the Canterbury Tales could be so threatening? And from China, we're hearing reports of both hope and hardship. A church leader imprisoned for printing Bibles has been granted bail, while a Christian school founder has been arrested for helping special needs children and advocating for human rights. The more things change. Let that be a reminder that we all continue to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. And if you want more, download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for more exclusive content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And also don't forget you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just fine. Thanks for asking. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, how long now have we been standing here for this particular episode of Wretched? About a half an hour?
22, 25 minutes.
Yeah. Alrighty then. And you're wondering how my hip is feeling?
Oh, yeah. How's your back, Todd?
It's my hip.
Your hip.
Jimmy.
Well, it started in your back.
It's fine. Thank you for asking. First, he doesn't go to church. Then he stops caring about the brethren. Please send your rebukes to 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
What do you call?
Oh, no. You know, honestly, you have started a plague with your dad joke business. Hope at
I wish
church.
It was a business.
You know what? What does it look like to be a godly adult if you're younger? I'll tell you what it looks like. Hope and Stephen. Two younger people, they give or take 20-ish, that neighborhood, that come to church every Sunday. They happen to be in Georgia. I'm trying to recall what town they're in for missionary training. And they've been attending our church, and they're there every Sunday morning for Bible study and for church. That's being an adult. That's doing adult things. And by the way, it's more than doing adult things. It's doing the things that are really good for you. Happen to preach on this on Sunday, at least in part. When Jesus asked this question about the soul, what is the implication? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So on the one side of your scale, you've got the entire world, everything that is perceived as good and wonderful and desirable. And then you get your soul. And you know what it does when you put your soul on that scale with the whole world on the other side? Boom! It just, your soul is more important than all of that stuff. Now, we kind of parse that out a little bit. But one of the applications is your soul is exceedingly important. Now think about the implications. If Jesus said that the entire world, everything good that it has to offer, and everything bad for that matter, your soul more precious. So then the question should be, well, so what am I doing to feed that soul? What am I doing to strengthen my walk? If my soul is that important, shouldn't I, just like Paul taught us, that the spiritual exercises are way more important than physical? So without trying to be pharisaical in this, I think that the question should be asked, how much time do I spend tending to my body versus my soul? I get it. You want to be in shape. We're a sedentary society. You sit at your desk, so you've got to go to the gym. I get all of that. But I'm not suggesting you don't go to the gym. What I am asking is, how much time do you spend feeding your soul? It's more important. And that is exactly what Hope and Stephen are doing on Sunday morning. Feeding their, that's big boy, big girl stuff right there. That is what it is all about when it comes to adulting. Do the stuff that God says that you are supposed to do. And send stuff to 87. Was there a question in there?
Well, I was going to tell a dad joke, and you started talking about being adults. So I'm just
I should have just wrapped it up.
I won't tell.
Hope tells dad jokes. That was the point of all of that. That's why we went down that particular exit ramp. Hope, every Sunday, and I can tell, she just like you. You just take on a different tone.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, just like that. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
I just wrote a manual on walking.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Step one. Step two. Step three. Step four. That's what Hope hit me with on Sunday.
That's funny. That's funny.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
What do you call a steer who's a stranger?
A steer?
Mm-hmm.
Who's a stranger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what?
A naughty move. That's hilarious. I thought you would appreciate that one at least. I'm ruining your life. don't let me sit here and wallow in this time. Okay. Are you ready for a question? Okay. Let me catch my breath. This is from Emily Todd. She said, okay, this is serious. This is a serious question. She says, I'm 25 and I've never dated. I'm unhappy and unfulfilled in my career. I desire to be married and be a Christian wife and homemaker. I am actively involved in my local church and have a wonderful family, but am still lonely. How can I find contentment when it feels like God doesn't care about my heart's desires?
Oh, okay. See, the first part, all we can do is grieve with you on that desire not being fulfilled. But that last sentence right there, that one, I would actually jump on really, really hard. That is the absolute wrong conclusion. You can know that for a fact. Will not he who gave his only begotten son not also give us all good things? He gave you his son. You know he cares for you. In fact, he tells you pretty clearly to cast all of your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So don't come up with the conclusion that God isn't interested, he's distracted, he's not aware, and certainly that he doesn't care for you. That would just be wrong. And I happily tell you that you're wrong, because that's really great news. He does care for you. And I don't know what God's complete and definitive will is for every year of the remainder of your life. But I know this, whether you're single or married, that is what is best for you. I know it's hard. I get it. We preached on this on Sunday. Whatever God has going on in your life, it's the best thing. It is the best thing. Everything he does for his children is good. Even when it's hard, even when our heart's desires are not being met. Now, you might make that conclusion, well, my heart's desire is to be married, and that is a good desire. So why isn't God giving me my heart's desire? Because he knows there's something better. Right now, I know you're supposed to be single because you're single. And God isn't listening to this program and going, well, wait a second, I didn't deal with that yet. Oh, that's right. I don't really care about her that much. Isn't that silly sounding? He's fully aware. He totally cares. And he's doing what is best for you, even when it is hard. So what do you do? You ask the Lord to teach you what it is that you're to learn in this season, how you can serve your local church, how you can go about the business of being a blessing to others, because now you have more free time to serve in a local body. You can spend more time studying. You can even dedicate more time, if you want, based on what you think is important, amassing more money for the future, whatever. Just get busy. He's got you exactly where he wants you. This is where he wants you right now. Ask other people, what do you suppose I should be doing with this discretionary free time? And then enjoy that season, knowing as long as this season lasts, and it might be the rest of your life, that what God ordains is always good. Always. Now, having said that, my heart, it breaks for this young lady. I'm telling you, it's just what we have... This is why we want a better place to live. The social structures that once made it a little bit easier to find yourself a godly spouse, they've been shattered. And we're just spread all over the place. And it's increasingly difficult for godly young women and godly young men to find a spouse. And I know plenty of them, and their hearts too are aching. They long for a good thing. In the meantime, let your heart's longing be filled by Jesus Christ. That for sure is something that he wants you to do. That he is higher on the totem pole of priorities in your life and desires and objects of affection. That he's on the top of that pole, even compared to something good like a spouse. And I'll toss this in. And I know not everybody is in agreement with this, but I don't think this rises anywhere near the level of that we should somehow divide over it. But because the social structures are gone, I will say this. If you're young and you're going to a Christian university, I think Liberty University does this. Liberty will say, you got two jobs here. Graduate with a spouse. There's your two. Because it's a better opportunity at university, the Christian university, than it is when you're out in the world. If you've already graduated, I would encourage you, consider not these free apps. I just don't think that you're going to find the type of individual you're looking for. You need one where it is more thorough about the priority of somebody who's a genuine believer. Use those. I don't think there's any shame in that. I'm telling you, I'm meeting more and more people. You ask them the question, how did you guys meet? eHarmony. How'd you guys meet? Christian Mingle. I don't think you have to be ashamed. Whatever stigma once existed, I personally would go the opposite direction. I would say, what a blessing that there is technology to help in a society that has broken the structures that once facilitated marriage. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, they're beautiful gifts from God, are they not? But let's be honest, they're also challenging. In this world that we're living in right now, many families are struggling just to survive. But what if you and your family could truly thrive? Introducing Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, a new production from Fortis Institute. Pastor Brad Bigney brings over 30 years of pastoral experience and 36 as a biblical counselor to help your family flourish. With Thrive, you'll discover how marriage can be more than just a legal status. It can be a living billboard for the gospel. Whether you're newlyweds, busy parents, or empty nesters, Thrive offers biblical insight to revolutionize your home life. Pastor Brad Bigney doesn't just offer quick fixes. He applies the wisdom of God's word to your daily walk, helping you build a family that, again, doesn't just survive, it thrives. Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now at FortisInstitute.org or the Fortis Plus app. FortisInstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today.
I don't know how to talk to my kids about what's happening in the world.
Feels like my faith is constantly under attack.
And if this sounds like you, understand you're not alone. Staying grounded in your faith is a challenge, and that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Fortis Institute offers free daily content to equip you with biblical wisdom for this brave new world, plus exclusive access to live webinars, weekly cartoons, and a community of believers that are standing firm in their faith. All of this at no cost to you. All you have to do is access FortisPlus.org or download our mobile app. And don't just survive in this brave new world, thrive in it. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. And if you are in a position in your life where you can help us with this new endeavor by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be ever so grateful. Again, all of the information at FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, Jimmy, I did see it, but we're doing mailbag this week. This is Wretched Radio. Yes, I saw the Andy Stanley sermon of the week.
Okay.
But we're doing mailbag. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Ooh, am I tempted, though? You're like, I'm trying to think of that character in the Bible who tempted a human to get off track. Well, oh, I know. It was that serpent with wrinkly clothes that I believe tempted Eve to not be obedient. I'm not going to fall for it, Pally boy, although I'd like to real bad because I haven't yet heard anybody comment on what I think is behind Andy Stanley's latest that, hey, to become a Christian, you only have to believe in two miracles. What's the problem with that? Can you articulate it? You know something is off with it. Can you define what is the problem with this reductionistic view of salvation? Okay, I just gave you a big cheat right there. In the meantime, send wretched things to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Nisi. She texted in, Todd, I know the Bible says for us to do all things to the glory of God, but are we as Christians expected to thoroughly enjoy going to work every day? I'm in my 30s and I transitioned through three different jobs over the past year because I felt they weren't the right fit for me. Eventually, I came to the realization that it wasn't about the jobs. I just don't enjoy working. I will continue to work because I don't want to be lazy, of course. However, I do find it very difficult to convince myself to do so. Should we only work at jobs that we enjoy?
Google Martin Luther, not King Jr., Martin Luther, comma, vocation. You will find, I think, the best treatment of the subject on working that there is on the subject of vocation. Other reformers talked about the issue, of course, but I think Luther is the one who spent more dedicated time to the concept of calling. Not work, your calling. A vocation, Latin root vocare, it's your calling. It's where God has you. And the issue is not the job. I think there's two aspects of this. The one is greater, the other is lesser. But I don't think because the one is lesser, we should ignore it. The lesser one is you're a priest. That's what you are. You are a royal priest in the kingdom of God. That means wherever you go, whether it's the grocery store or your place of employment, you are going as a priest. The greater concept is that you are not going to work for the man. You're not going to work for your manager, and you're not going to work even for your paycheck. You're going to work for God, because whatever it is that you do on this planet, you are contributing to the fostering of human flourishing. You are. It might be, and it's okay that it is. It might be degrees separated. That doesn't lessen its impact. Whatever it is that you do for an organization, and you think, well, this doesn't do anybody any good. Well, what does the organization do? What does the organization provide for people to live life or to eat or to have a place to live that's comfortable and nice? Are you contributing to that? Then you're doing a good thing to take care of God's children. That's what you're doing at work. It doesn't matter what type of widget you're making if it enhances people's life. Okay, I'm looking at the studio here. And you sell, and I know there's guys, actually, I know a guy who does this. Take a look at your light socket, all the stuff behind it, that's what he sells. That's his job. And he could come to the conclusion, I'm selling bric-bracs. I'm just selling these little gizmos. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because, well, this thing wouldn't be working right now. You couldn't dry your hair in the morning. By the way, we almost had a scene in our house. Oh. I'm in the bedroom. Mrs. Friel, I can hear the blow dryer is going. And all of a sudden, kind of a shriek and a bang. The blow dryer started on fire.
Oh.
And thankfully, it didn't like start her on fire. But whoa.
And you still made it to church.
So now I need to blame the guy with the electrical stuff behind the socket here. No, I can actually thank the guy for the electric socket because we get to use blow dryers. We get to use microwave ovens. You get to light up a house with it. You are blessing people. So you are doing it as an act of worship, as a royal priest to your God in providing services by providing goods to his children. That's what work is. Now, there's always, of course, the question, what type of work? Do I have to enjoy it? Well, I think that it would be wrong to say these concepts, the lesser and the greater concepts, that it makes doing something that you find to be mundane or disinteresting, that it suddenly just makes it interesting. I don't think that that's right. I would say it makes it meaningful, that you can find satisfaction in it. And might it be a grind? Might it be, again? And the answer to that is, sure, it can be. But knowing the meaning behind it, you can go, especially knowing that this is where God has me right now. Does that mean you cannot seek another career? Does not mean that. You can go find something that it's like, I just dig doing that too. I get to be a royal priest, service unto God, taking care of his children, and I like it. Good on you. You can pursue that if you want to. But in the meantime, you can still do things that are pretty, let's call them mundane or not as glamorous or just not as enjoyable as you'd like them to be, knowing that you are still doing meaningful work. 877-282-2337.
So the dryer blew up.
Yeah, no, it didn't blow up. It just started shooting fire out of it.
And you still made it to church.
Got that right, Pally boy. Something like that ain't going to slow us down. Ain't nothing going to break our stride.
All right, this is from Gina.
You didn't have one shirt that wasn't wrinkly?
It wasn't the shirt. It was the britches, the pants.
Yeah, I know what britches are.
Okay.
So they were wrinkly.
Bad. Really bad.
But imagine the conversation starters. Huh, the iron broke. Could have been worse. My wife's hair dryer could have lit her up this morning, so that didn't happen. Just think of all of the conversations that you would have had started. And you could, you know what, if you were Ray Comfort, you'd turn it into a witness encounter.
That's right.
You know, here's a wrinkle in life that we're going to have to face God on Judgment Day. How will you do? Have you ever told it? That would be Ray Comfort.
That's right.
He is relentless. So you just blew an evangelistic opportunity.
I did.
It just keeps compounding itself, doesn't it?
Yep.
Idea@wretched.org.
Well, speaking of wrinkles, this is from Gina. Todd, I want to get a facelift because of all of the wrinkles due to my former cigarette smoking habit from before I got saved and, of course, from aging as well. Is plastic surgery a sin or is it a Christian liberty?
It's a Christian liberty. There you go. I said it. Now, let's talk about it. Should you exercise that liberty? Well, that is where the motive behind making that decision could remove it from the realm of Christian liberty into the territory of sin that looks as an idol for you, that you are having a fear of man issue, that you want people to think well of you. You need people to think that you're younger than you actually are. So it really depends on your motive for doing it. And I think every Christian needs to work this out. Remember, we still have a doctrine called the priesthood of all believers. These issues, it is between an individual and their God. I do believe you would do well, because we can deceive ourselves pretty easily on things like this, to go about the business of letting people speak into your life and ask you some questions. Because you even said something in your email that I thought, okay, there's a possibility this could maybe be something that you shouldn't do because of a particular issue that isn't within the realm of Christian liberty. And you said, you know, getting old too.
Aging, yes.
Yep. See, I would want to spend time on that issue, because I do believe that an individual might make the decision, I need to get this facelift because I'm getting wrinkly and saggy because of. Now, for this will maybe sound like way out there, but I think that I would probably stand behind it. You're on TV. You're a newscaster. And the reality is, you've seen it. You've experienced it perhaps yourself. You start to look saggy, you're out of there. And you're thinking, but I want to stay there because I'm allowed to do this good work. I can bring these stories to people that are not always horrible, that can have some sort of redemptive value. And I'm making a paycheck that allows me to support my local church. So I want to be there. So therefore, in order to keep doing that ministry, I'm going to get a facelift. I can see that. But if you're driven by, I just want to look younger, I don't like looking in the mirror and seeing that time has not made me the exception, then I would say, You don't have to do that. The book that I've written, it won't be out till next fall, but that's we talk about. There's actually a chapter dedicated to issues like facelifts and self-presentation. Can you? Yes. Should you? It depends on the motivation. And I would encourage you to be free. You don't have to look young. You don't have to look young. You're not going to escape it. So make your decision knowing you don't have to. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.